When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cheese and pickle.
Six, seven, eight.
Tunson.
Never know what you're going to do from week to week.
Reference there for the old Eurovision semi-final Ukraine, wasn't it?
Yes. The one who looked like Christopher Biggins and wore a tinfoil suit.
One of my favourite Eurovision memories. Never made it to the actual
contest.
Never
made it to the actual contest. That's why this year I'm hoping to go to one of the semi-finals in person.
Anyway.
Sorry, this year, next year. Anyway, sorry, we digress. We can never quite get to the beginning of this podcast, can we? Welcome to Come Strictly Dancing. I am Julia Rayside. Here's Joel Morris. It is week seven, halfway through Strictly Come Dancing 2022, and it's getting, if I may say so, quite serious.
Yes, definitely. Like, a change in feel. There's that shift. After you've had a couple of dress-up ones quite quickly, you've had Movie Week and Halloween Week, when they come out at the beginning and they're not dressed as Gomez and Morticia, you go, what's gone wrong? Everyone's dressed as dancers.
Everyone looked really, really sexy this week. Yeah. Like, properly sexy.
They should maybe make Week 7 Sexy Week.
I think so. Just like, it is already. Why not just come out and say it?
Give it a label.
It was sizzling and hot sauce, if we can hot use sauce. That catchphrase. I'm not sure if I'm still allowed to use that catchphrase.
I think hot sauce is still a thing.
Okay, cool. Hot sauce.
Just referring to the existence of the substance hot sauce.
So this week, there was some strange, I don't know about you, I felt like the atmosphere in the studio had become slightly more clenched, or maybe it's me, but there's definitely a, even when people were happy, they were just a bit too happy. Like, it was all a bit shrill and kind of, oh, everyone's trying so hard now. I think something's, there's always a hinge around week seven where people go from, you know, being quite sort of into it to a bit too into it.
Well, there's a sunk cost thing. They've now given over months of their lives to doing this. And the idea of going out now, especially for a stupid reason, feels really like a waste. They're at this point, that's like the halfway hinge is quite important, I think. Last week you started to see it. It was someone, I watched, it might be Molly last week, who got a low score. And you could see in her eyes, went, no, don't send me home.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like the usual, oh, I want to keep dancing. It was literally a look in her eyes of fear.
Yeah.
And you went, oh, and I suddenly thought, oh God, this has got serious. And this week, there were a couple of other people who had a look in their eyes, you went, oh, this is something, A, you're loving doing. Yes, we know that story. But also, that if you had to go home now, all that effort, all that joy you were having would stop. And it really feels like, yeah, it's across, half of it's to do with, I don't want to stop enjoying myself. And half of it is, please don't have wasted all the time I was away from my family. I missed all these birthdays.
Because I'm imagining for those weeks you're doing it, it's all you can see.
Yeah.
And to suddenly take off those glasses, those like sort of glittery glasses, and have to go back to the non-dance life again is like, I don't know, it's like coming out of a really amazing film or some really immersive thing where it's like, oh no, but normal life can't live up to this. It's too dull, it's too unexciting.
We forget sometimes because each dance is, 90 seconds long.
Yeah.
That each one of those is the culmination of a week's work of incredibly
solid,
intense work.
Drilling. Yeah.
And I think that for me, I don't want Strictly to end and me go back to the normal world. Well, I'm just a viewer.
Exactly.
So imagine what it's like if you're in the middle of it.
I mean, you've seen the weather out there. Brrr. It's the only thing keeping me from the cold and the dark.
I want to stay in such a sharp house going round and round and round.
Okay, let's start with the dancing. And this week, opening the show, it was Hamza and Yevita with their cha-cha-cha.
Cha-cha-cha-cha.
I can't remember. I didn't write down the music. What was it? Was it something recognisable?
Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Oh, that's
that
right.
One.
Sorry, of course
it was. Because
it was
labelled on the shops.
They literally wrote it on the top of the
window. I love it when they put the lyrics in the set. I'm a big fan of that. I should do it all the time.
It was quite impressive. They built like a bakery window and his shop was.
Good bit of set dressing. Lovely bit of colour for the beginning. Nice to see him starting the show.
I know. It was nice to see him starting the show. And they were kind of dressed in sort of candy stripes, obviously. They seem to be having some kind of misunderstanding over a chitty. And now with that, no, that wasn't theirs. That was Will and Nancy later. There's like another, it's always, we're talking about women and men running businesses together or this next
is,
to each other.
This is Tom Noonan's theory. There are only two dances possible, two stories possible in Strictly, you can tell.
Yeah.
Like the seven basic plots. The two stories are woman wants nothing to do with a man. That's story one. And the other one is man and woman attempt to run a business of some sort.
Hilarious consequences.
True. So this was a business running one.
Yeah, sorry, the misunderstanding over the chitty comes later. We'll put a placeholder in
there. Thank God there are more men and women attempting to run a business.
This one, I mean, I again, just because of his relatability, I think, the rehearsal footage with his face just trying to get cha-cha-cha counting.
Yeah.
And just genuinely looking a bit heartbroken over how hard... It's like someone was doing calculus and he was just like... I can point a camera at a fox. I don't understand.
It looked like your face when we went to go and see Brian Cox give a lecture.
And come on.
No, it was the same. He's going around and going, is he just saying words?
It's like I did want to understand. And, you know, the first drawing, and then he expanded the drawing
on the big
screen and I
couldn't
get it.
And then you need Robin Ince to come on and do a poem and it makes everything easier.
And make you laugh.
There was a lovely, I mean, in terms of production as well, I thought this was a brilliant one. You started with, we've just got to Serious Week or Sexy Week, how we're going to brand it. The first montage had a lot of black and white in it, training montage, and it said, this is hard, this is serious. And the thing about Hamza is he's been kind of effortless.
Mm.
His journey has been, I just turn out to be naturally really unexpectedly good at dancing. Then to see him really struggle, and you watch him really struggle, and it says, what you're watching these people do is not natural, it involves an enormous amount of maths and counting and discipline.
Yeah.
To say it's really hard, and then when you got to watch him do the dance, and he was brilliant at
so good.
That then made the story make sense. It was like one of those ones when they explained the footwork. I need to know how hard this is.
Yes, actually, in terms of audience response, we're in danger of taking him for granted.
Yes.
He makes it look so easy, and it was really good to have a reminder that it is not easy at all. So the reaction to it was uproarious. He got 3 10s.
Yes.
Motsy, Shirley and Anton, obviously, I don't need to tell you who the 3 10s are from. And then only an 8 from Craig, which felt a bit stingy after he was quite sort of... the only thing he seemed to find wrong was that Hamza's feet were still slightly turned.
He will have got something wrong with maths that was in the training montage that we didn't consider. He didn't count to 11-2 enough.
11-2, that's the magic number.
I thought it was magic to watch, though.
I thought it was terrific to watch. I think especially his, I think was it last week, his legs were kind of covered up in that long king's robe coat thing. So lots of people complaining you couldn't really see his footwork. And this was a really good reminder of just what he can do with, I mean, if it's not sounding too personal, the lower half of his body.
Yeah, yeah.
His legs are extraordinary. The elegance and the poise and the kind of nimbleness of those legs. They shouldn't be able to do that. And yet.
The thing I thought when I watched it was that it had a lot of, because it had that bright candy stripe thing. And he's a kids' TV presenter.
Yeah.
I thought this had really captured that kids' TV values. And I thought, what's this reminding me of? And I went, oh, it's, you know, in stop motion when Wallace and Gromit or Paddington do an amazing little, like the old stop motion Paddington.
Yeah.
And he does Singing in the Rain. And what you're watching is the fact that someone has painstakingly moved each, they put the music on a beat at a time and they've moved each limb painstakingly to the right position.
Yeah.
And I was watching him going, he looks like a stop motion puppet. It looks like one of the dances from like Nightmare Before Christmas. This has been done. No, he looked like...
Like he's, Tim Burton.
Because he's really cute. And so he looked like... when you watch stop motion, the thing that's amazing about it is that someone has painstakingly hit every single beat because they've done it over a period of months. It's been slowed down. He looks like he's been sped up to hit all his marks because it's you don't expect him to hit those marks. It looks like when like a character who shouldn't be able to dance can suddenly dance in a cartoon.
Yeah.
It's absolutely magical.
He is magic to watch, and it is sort of a mystery how he does it, especially when you can see the difficulty going into it. Shirley and Motsy were both on their hind legs, and they said it's the best cha-cha they've probably ever seen in Strictly history. Anton couldn't find anything to mark him down for. It was obviously going to be a really good start to the night. And so three tens, I mean, put him straight to the top of the leaderboard where he stayed for the rest of the night. He's just such a banker. And I think week 7, it's like, where does the journey go from here? I think it's important to keep being reminded that this is not his natural habitat, literally. That's the ice flows somewhere watching a kind of, you know, snow leopard.
Is that what he was doing in the King's effort? Was that a hide? Was he inside so no one knew he was there?
That's
so he could
exactly
sneak
it.
Up on
couldn't
the princesses
his
or whatever he needs to, witches, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoever he's hunting.
But I mean, obviously still being talked about as the favourite by the bookies. That's a dangerous place to be halfway through the competition. Already brilliant, already almost completed the journey It's like the journey should take longer. Yeah. Which is why I've got my eye on some other people now. But I really, really think if he's not in the final, something has gone terribly wrong. Then, of course, we had the terms and conditions, which I thought was about the best audition ever for an either an It Takes Two or an auxiliary presenter if they ever need one. Alison Hammond.
Yes.
Just, and then Craig raising his ten paddle at the end, indicating she had very much passed.
The approval.
Yet she's just such a likeable, glorious, gorgeous, natural screen presence. I was delighted to see her.
It's more Midlands stuff, isn't it? You just, anyone from the Midlands, you're just going to wave
Midlands,
through.
Midlands forever! But I do think she kind of, she's a natural fit for the Strictly universe, don't you think?
It's her or all of Pop Elite itself. They're the only people you want to be presenting Strictly Come
Dancing. Yes, please! Midlands forever! So now we move on to, oh, this is always a real kind of moment in Strictly, when a dancer who's used to doing sort of upbeat animated stuff is forced to serious up and do the rumba.
Yes.
So Ellie and Johannes did their rumba to, I mean, it was to Hearts Alone.
Yeah.
So I was kind of half expecting it to be a funny rumba, because it's just, that's such a brilliant.
It's too big.
Such a brilliant, I mean, hair metal it up. They could have gone, like, the costumes.
It's a Bill and Oti number, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. But they did go very much straight, very much, I mean, literally, they were a male-female romantic couple. Ellie was in the training montage talking about having to try and let go of her inner cringe, which is, you know, really hard to do, really exposing. And I think, I don't know about you, but I'm sure I'll find out in a minute, that this was a beautiful-looking dance. It just didn't seem very much like a rumba to me, because it didn't have the sway and magnetic resistance that we've been told to look out for this dance. But it was still a really good performance, and I enjoyed watching
those two are always worth watching. I think it's an interesting one, because we've been saying since the beginning, we said we couldn't work out what their relationship was going to be, because Johannes had come from being like hot, sexy, romantic last time around.
Hot sauce.
He'd been hot sauce last time around. And they found last week, they really isolated this thing, which is they are a brilliant pair of naughty siblings. They're playing together. They love each other's company. And they had to suddenly go, okay, now we've got that right. Now we'll do romantic pairing.
Yeah.
And I think they struggle with it a little bit, maybe because she can't take him seriously because they have so much fun together. But it looked like she'd been told to be serious, which obviously she's a comedian, she's got a great animated face, she cannot hide her feelings. One of the things that's really interesting and charming about her.
And this week especially, like, the feelings were all over her face, and I'd loved her for it even more.
I think that's it. Her big appeal is that she's supposed to be, you can read her like a book, it's lovely. And then she went stiff, weirdly, when actually what he said was serious.
She was a bit paralysed. I think she needed to imagine someone she really, really fucking fancies, like, in front of her. And
it would have come out of her face. But I think she was trying to control herself. And the funny thing about Ellie, I think, is her uncontrolledness is what her charm
is. It's her USP.
That's her personality.
Yeah.
And saying, control yourself. So she went controlled. And weirdly, that lost all of her bounce and fluidity.
Yeah. I think there
seemed, it wasn't sharp. It was stiff.
Yeah, it's stiff. I suppose I balk at the word stiff. It didn't have that, you know, when someone can really let themselves go in a rumba and give themselves over to the dance, their hips kind of turn to fluid and they sort of, there's a sway and a swing that was just totally missing. She was just moving. She wasn't, she wasn't dancing.
When she let herself go, there was a brilliant thing where she did the splits.
And that looked good.
And you
good.
Went, oh, that need more of that. Oddly, I've suddenly realised what the word is. I'm not looking for stiff. I'm looking for the word straight.
Yeah.
It felt very straight. And
it should have been a lot gayer.
You can't put JoJo and Ellie in a straight dance, either sexually or comically. It's the opposite of what they do so brilliantly, which is to be extremely sort of bouncy, fluid and naughty.
Yeah, it's true. And for some reason, they were dancing on a giant CGI clock face.
Yeah, CGI watch, big clock.
Yeah, don't know, in terms of Heart, Alone, Rumba, the clock was just like, they weren't dancing to clocks by Coldplay.
Yeah,
so
It should have been a big Heart.
Yeah.
Or possibly Nancy and Ann Wilson's hair.
Yeah, was it just a test to make sure, to see if Ellie wouldn't come on and say, oh my God, look, a massive clock!
Yes.
Because that's probably what
react.
She felt like doing. Yeah. It was almost like they were trying to bait her. The judges kind of agreed. They said that she did make, you know, she had beautiful lines and her footwork was well placed. It's just there wasn't the sway and the fluid and the and the groins.
They said basically what we've said.
Yeah, they basically
ripped
did.
Us off totally.
Then, you know, the scoring was a bit sort of a mixed bag. But Craig, I mean, admittedly, this is early in the evening. Craig gave Ellie a 3.
Yes.
And he gave Tony Adams a 4.
Yes.
Fuck you, Craig.
100%. Sorry, that is not, honestly, we are not at a stage in the competition where anyone, anyone is getting threes.
No, really not. It was so unnecessarily cruel.
The whole point of Strictly Scoring is that it starts off and it's too big, and then by the end of it, it literally is binary. You're either giving a 9 or a 10.
Yeah.
And we head towards there.
When that paddle came out, and I can see how angry you are too, and I'm glad.
Yeah, 3.
When that paddle came out, Ellie obviously, you know, up with Claudia and Johannes's arm round her, just absolutely fucking crushed after last week when they just threw, you know, plaudits at her. This week it's like a 3. She must have thought she'd really fucked that up, and she didn't.
No, emotionally.
She just didn't have enough rehearsal time to get to the stage where she was really comfortable with it and to loosen up the hips and stuff.
Her being slightly uncomfortable with the dance isn't a 3. She's still a really good dancer.
And Shirley
and
gave her a 5.
Yeah, I thought the look on her face afterwards was even crueler than when Molly looked a bit broken last week.
Yeah. It was
and
really
I kept
harsh.
Looking out for her in shots when they sort of cut to the contestants. And she was struggling to hold it together for the rest of the
for
episode.
The whole evening.
When she was on camera, because obviously she was really hurt.
Just so deflated.
And I just thought she's, that was not a dance she hadn't worked hard on, and it was not a dance she really failed at.
No.
She just found it difficult.
Yeah, so the aforementioned 3 from Craig, an absolute travesty. Motsi and Anton gave 7s, and Shirley a 5. I think what exactly. I don't feel that even vaguely reflected what we were watching. And it did turn out on Twitter it didn't do her any harm, because I think the absolute savagery of Craig and Shirley had her trending for the rest of the night and into Sunday morning this morning. And I'm assuming probably lots of people picking up the phone because they were so outraged.
Yes, that can work, I suppose. I mean, Craig certainly knows the effectiveness of a very, very low paddle.
Yeah, the internet was well pissed off.
Right then. And some of those people were even real people rather than Elon Musk's bot army or whatever's happened to Twitter this week, where everyone's been replaced by his friends.
I tried to join Mastodon and started crying because it's so hard.
You can't join Mastodon because, honestly, they're a really good band, but some of those guitar parts are almost impossible. They're really fast.
Right, next we move on to Molly and Carlos's Foxtrot, to a song that was so saccharine and dull I almost couldn't hear it. It was like something like air escaping from a balloon, like really slowly.
Dancing to a gas leak.
Yeah, not their fault at all, but I just thought the song was terribly boring. As we've talked about before, sometimes the song choice can really dent your kind of appeal or the memorability of what you've done. She was wearing a lovely sort of like frothy dress, all covered in flowers. They were dancing through arches made
CGI
of CGI
floor. They were
flowers.
Shaped like hearts. They were the ones that should have been there for heart.
Yeah, and obviously,
honestly,
I don't know, but obviously at the end, Molly and Carlos always do that thing where they arc their hands, their sort of arms over each other's heads and make a heart shape.
Yeah.
They do it every week, so I guess it was like a little nod to that. I think the song choice didn't help them this week. They did, obviously, we'll get to them in a minute, they did end up in the dance-off. Which is another real blow for Molly. She's been in it before, obviously, but had avoided it for the last couple of weeks as the nation's innate racism put Fleur there instead. But
I love the fact that's just a fact.
It is just a fact.
Just a fact.
I've also got a theory I'll have to talk about when we get to her as well. So the flowery arches, the CGI, it sort of didn't do her any favours, and the song choice especially I thought was dull as. Her score was really, really good. So she got 3 9s and an 8 from Craig.
Yeah.
And still ended up in the dance-off. So I think older people are voting, maybe not paying much attention to someone who they've never seen in anything else.
Yeah.
Some weeks she just gets forgotten, I think.
Yes,
as the field narrows, that'll happen less. But she's, you know, and she's done plenty of routines that have completely grabbed the attention and obviously not seen her in the dance-off. But, this is just another one of those weeks where I think she just got lost among other people who were more pressingly asking the audience to pick up the phone.
I think she's at risk of, because she started out, she was very good. And for a while, the journey I was following with her, because we have to follow the journey.
Must follow the journey.
I follow the journey. And the journey was me getting to know her, because I didn't know her. She's from a show or a channel I don't really watch. As I got to know her, especially Carlos, I went, I really like you guys.
Yeah.
Now I know they're there. They're at risk of being overtaken by people whose dance journey is more interesting, like Kim or Helen, who are becoming great dancers.
Yeah.
Whereas she started out, she was always a confident dancer. So her story is lacking a bit. And I think this week, the other thing is, this is a foxtrot, wasn't it, as well?
It was a foxtrot,
The foxtrot killed Ellie last week.
Oh, yeah.
It's the fact that I think that, because one of the judges, might have been Shirley, said, foxtrot's really hard because it's slow.
Yes, and if this song was slow because it needed to be.
If you don't get the song right to match with the foxtrot, like last week it was Scooby-Doo, which is an antic cartoon song.
Completely mismatched,
it looks like you're too slow for the song. This one, the song lacked a bit of energy, so then there's no energy carrying it. So you went, oh, the song can't be fast,
maybe
it can't
it's
be slow.
The dance.
I think foxtrot looks shit to people. It looks like you're a bit lazy.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone understands
Charleston.
Or it looks
Charleston. Too simple. It looks like the routines. When you're watching people being thrown over their partner's heads and doing crazy stuff. When you're watching someone doing the perfect footwork, but it's all a bit slow and blah-de blah.
Is this a curse of ballroom? In the sense
maybe.
We know the ballroom dances that idiot people like me who don't understand dance like Argentine tango and things.
Yeah.
Or the Viennese waltz. I know what that is. Foxtrot turns up. I don't know which one that is. It's not a jive.
It's not the quick one.
Couple's
it's not
choice.
The
it's
round
not
and round
dance.
One. Yeah,
not,
yeah.
And I don't think I know that they're doing it really well. So the judges very often are giving really high scores to a one that you go, I'm a bit underwhelmed
That's
by that.
That's it.
I think it's the foxtrot.
There's often a mismatch, isn't there, between what we're seeing and what they're seeing.
Hard to find a pop song that goes with it. And I don't know. It seems to be a challenge, I think, for the choreographers and for the dancers and for the band to make the foxtrot fly.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, Shirley and Motsi were on their feet. They did really enjoy it, clearly. Shirley called it the epitome of style and sophistication, loved her heel turns. Motsi said, you were transporting me away to a lovely place. And Craig said it was gorgeous, really impressed. And Anton also said he really loves you, watching you dance, said it was super duper. Yeah, Craig and 8 and 3-9 and the others. One of those ones where technically fine and probably left the audience a little bit cold.
It's a hard one, I think, with her, because the two things I always write down about her, which the two things I like, I love it when she's locked together with Carlos. It looks great.
Yeah,
and I love
it
when she
hold.
Does. And I love it when she dances on her own. And I'm going, so what else can she do?
I know.
I love watching her. There was a lovely middle bit where she just went off on solo and it was just beautiful. And then suddenly they locked together and they were like a little unit. And they've got the full package
and yet
it's not coming across and I don't know why.
How do they revive the I forget which week and which dance now, but I think it was maybe the chart. No, what was the one where she was kind of like came out sort of all 30s cabaret?
Yeah, yeah.
Roaring, kind of amazing sort of bob haircut. And she just, it was one of the most dazzling things I've seen on that dance floor. She got to be sassy. She got to be kind of a bit dangerous.
Yeah. I think the only thing that's going to get her cemented in the public's hearts is if she's a defender for Arsenal for a while.
Oh, maybe they could do that. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay, now we move on to Ellie and Nikita, who did a Charleston to do Too Darn Hot. And I think we're now calling this the curse of the Charleston, aren't we?
I don't know. This is because it's Sexy Week. Sexy Week. Even the Charleston sexy.
It was genuinely really, really sexy. She had on this backless dress. Obviously, if I tried to wear that, oh dear me, God. But she's a swimmer. She has a swimmer's back. Swimmer's back's famously unbelievably toned and beautiful. So she wore a proper fucking frock, and she got the full Hollywood kind of Veronica Lake wave and
love
the makeup.
The makeup was brilliant.
She looked so glorious, and she got to do something which they don't often manage to pull off in Strictly, which is a kind of sexy Charleston. It was a sassy.
It wasn't wacky.
No. In fact, maybe this is the dance we were talking about last week with, or whatever week Molly did her. Her memorable dance. I think it might have been a Charleston.
Pulling off a sexy Charleston, because Charleston is often the thing that will keep like a comic or a sort of a low ranking dance room by being a bit wacky. Oh, they're game. They're throwing themselves in loads of energy.
You can do amazing things with choreography if you get the right dance partner, and you can really pull off some tricks that look great and, can
keep
you
energy.
In if you're not necessarily
It's
the
easy
best.
To read for a non-dance audience. And to watch this one halfway through, I went, this is a Charleston, because it was sexy like a tango. It was amazing.
It was really cool, really dynamic. She looked amazing. I think her synchronisation with her dance partner, who's obviously completely proportioned in a totally different way, is astonishing. It would be if she was the same sort of leg length as him, for example.
Yes, that's the real challenge. She's like a synchronised swimmer.
She's kind of working twice as hard, and it's just absolutely brilliant to watch. The judges agreed that Motsi said she was dancing on another whole level. She put her heart on the dance floor, which sounds disgusting. Shirley said that she had real strength, didn't miss a beat, a real wow factor. There was incredible trust between them in the lifts.
The lifts are incredible.
And then Shirley said there was one in particular that she wanted to try. It was that one at the end where she kind of ended on a catch. It was
incredible.
I don't
know, he was holding her like a sports
like
bag.
Between his legs. Absolutely astonishing.
Like a swimming kit in her. It was amazing.
And then real...
thematically appropriate.
Real fear in Shirley's eyes when she was kind of going, I want to try. And Nikita was like, basically... sure, let's go, baby. And she's like, oh, no, I've changed my mind.
Live television throwing a woman of a certain age about is not going
to
be good.
Again, personally, I would not assent to that, you know, unless I was wearing substantially, I don't want to say absorbent, but no, I'm going to say absorbent underwear.
Yeah.
Okay. Anton said, you know, that obviously the reaction in the studio is what people live for when they're doing this competition. It was justified. They sold it. And Craig really only said that they needed a little bit more detail. The syncopation was great. He said it was incredible. Then only gave them a 7. But Motsi and
very
Anton.
Unfair, that.
It seems really unfair.
It's like a Craig kind of a score.
It's a very Craig score. Funny. Motsi and Anton gave 9s and Shirley an 8. But that was their highest score of the competition. It seems particularly cruel. Obviously, we now know they went out on what I think was their best dance.
An absolute
high. The judges
seemed
to agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was the word I wrote down was it was electric. It was a sensational thing. And it told a story that I wasn't expecting to come from her when she joined the competition, which is that she was capable of anything.
Yeah, totally.
And that what you might expect, which is sometimes happened actually with Rose, where someone is on there and they're kind of a disability, diversity tick. And you go, oh, it's interesting. I wonder whether someone who is XYZ has something that would make it harder to do the choreography or harder to do the dancing.
Which she absolutely has.
And is that the same? And comes out, and she's basically the annoying thing is to watch this year's Rose go out. Someone who was just proving capability and possibility and being exciting and brilliant to watch. And her story and her journey was brilliant.
Yeah.
She does not deserve to go out on the hinge. It's awful.
I completely agree. I think it's a real travesty. And obviously now means that my personal internal tide has turned again Tony Adams.
Yeah.
And I now want to push him off something high. I mean, I still think he's a nice guy and everything, but he's now ruining Strictly for me. He's actually ruining
it. He's spoiling it. It's like one of the people isn't a dancer. It's just a dog turd on a skateboard. And they push it on every week.
Steady
and you're
on.
Supposed to applaud. Dog turd on a skateboard. And you're like, no, because do you know who should be there? Not a dog turd on a skateboard.
Someone
that's what I'm saying.
I know. Anyway. I agree with you. I don't believe in low abuse, though. Let's not go there. Although I have also called him a cheerful animated cartoon ironing board.
Yes.
But, you know, the point stands. He's now spoiling Strictly. He must go. Anyway, moving on to Tyler and Diane, who this week were doing a Viennese waltz to I've Been Loving You. Obviously, I can't Tommy Blaze. Tommy Blaze can Tommy
it
Blaze.
It was good, wasn't it? He was showing off. His mum was proud.
Well, I'm glad they name-checked him because that was spectacular.
That actually is a good example of when the band and the dance and the song choice lock in and I think it is really important. And it is a dance competition, but it's an entertainment show. And when everything is firing on all cylinders, and this was that, really good dancers, good choreography, and the band locking in and a vocalist saying, this is my chance to shine.
Yeah.
What a wonderful, everyone pulling together. Lovely cooperation.
Completely. But it was for Tyler, perhaps not his best week. So,
no.
His scores did reflect that. I think when I was watching it, knowing as much as I do about Viennese waltz, Joel, I did think that it was kind of a bit sloppy in the arms, a bit unfinished. There were definitely moments where I thought his posture's wrong. He's not doing the kind of, he's been so good at ballroom in the past. And I just didn't feel like either maybe he didn't have enough rehearsal time or something didn't work this week and it wasn't like him. I expect better of him.
I must admit, I got to the end of this and went, God, I was enjoying the song so much.
You were looking at Diane.
I was looking at Diane.
You said that you really liked the way she looked this week. And in your mind, which clearly shows she occupies a space there.
Yes, she
that
does.
She's always dressed this way as, quotes, poison ivy.
I think, because I think that was a bit of a problem for me. As in, she was dressed as the most Diane thing in the world, which is a hair appropriate. Costume,
astonishing.
Like if she was Ariel from the Little Mermaid or something, hair appropriate costume, it kind of works. Everyone's got a bit of a thing for that. She's very nice. I seem to be a very nice lady.
You've gone all coy.
I have. But I thought the thing I noticed was I was watching it and I was taking Tyler for granted completely. And I got to the end of it and the scores came up and I wasn't watching him.
No, exactly.
And
I was watching
him. The problem for me was that it was a dance where I went, oh, I know him. He can dance. So I sort of stopped watching him a bit because I'm taking him completely for granted. And it was I think I was, again, not only watching Diane because she looked great and things, but I was watching Diane because I think she was doing a lot of the dancing and he was kind of catching up. He wasn't, normally he dances and I go, bloody hell, I can't take my eyes off him. And this week I was listening to the song, which means I wasn't watching him. I was watching his partner. The giveaway, when you're watching the pro rather than the contestant, because you're kind of going, oh, the contestant isn't really catching my eye.
Yeah.
And he didn't catch my eye this week.
Oh, well, he did catch the judge's
eye.
Dye
his hair red, put on a nice green dress and a watch.
Red and green should never be seen. She literally disproves that epithet. No, well, the judges disagreed with you, sadly. They were watching him. I think, Anton struggled to articulate it, but I sort of get between him and Craig, I think they sort of hit the nail on the head, that there's something about his posture. Craig always says, and I worry when he says it to dancers of colour, because it does slightly not allow for the fact that their physiques are different. And they've often complained about this in the past. I've heard dancers of colour say, my bum doesn't stick out, mate. This is just my bum.
Yeah.
But I think the posture was definitely slightly amiss this week. Yeah. And Tyler wasn't making the right shape. He's made that ballroom shape before, the kind of lean back, kind of gentleman V thing. He didn't quite have it this week. Craig said it was a bit pedestrian. His bum was sticking out and he was too low in his knees. Then he makes some kind of jibe about street dance, which made me clench. then Anton said he looked almost sort of like he was trapped for space somehow. So he wasn't being sweeping enough in his sidesteps. And also said the top line wasn't quite there. And then Shirley did point out there were two or three mistakes in the footwork. Just wasn't his most comfortable dance. And Motsy just said, yeah, listen to all of them. They're right. So the judges in the end were actually in agreement with Craig, weirdly, which never usually happens. He gave them a 7. So did Motsy and Shirley. And Anton went up 1 to an 8. But I think that's one of their lowest scoring dances, if not the lowest.
It's shocking to see that. I think the phrase that I really like was Anton's thing about him feeling trapped. And that I think I completely agree with. As in, I think I was watching her because she was commanding the dance floor.
Yeah.
She was moving around a lot more. And he did feel that he was sort of slightly more timid or boxed in somewhere.
He's looked like a leader before now. Yeah. And for something happened this week, I think, where everybody else appears to be really trying, and some ways in it's not that charming to see how hard they're trying. He's very good at making it look like he's not trying. This week, I thought maybe actually he wasn't trying. Yeah. Never mind, just making it look like that.
Maybe that'll frighten him into bringing it up.
I hope so, because I love watching them. They are one of my favourite couples. Yeah. Okay, now we move on to my favourite dance of the evening. It was Kim and Graziano. They Argentine tangoed to something with an accordion, I put there.
What they didn't dance to was the Eve of the War from War of the Worlds, which was in the training montage, which I know has been on before, but I'll always happily watch
Did
anyone.
Did you get excited that was going to happen?
I thought they were going to do War of the Worlds again. Only because Motsy wasn't dressed as a sci-fi character this week. So
we can't bend that outfit into any...
Sice noodles, I don't know. Anyway, carry on.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You always love finding a match, don't you?
Can we
bother? Graziano's first ever Argentine tango on the show, so he was very, very excited. And clearly, when the scores came out later, went absolutely bananas. Yeah. He was so happy. It was lovely to see. I just thought this was extraordinary. Every time they style Kim in kind of black. And I remember when she was in Hearsay, she's naturally all dyed, but very dark hair.
Yes.
I think that's such a good look for her. And obviously, you know, as we age, as ladies, we try different hair colours and stuff. And she's got sort of like a sun-in thing going on normally, sort of like a sort of, you know, expensive looking highlights. But they obviously gave her headgear that made it look again like her hair was dark this week. Her costume was black. Incredibly fitted, really unforgiving. She just looked extraordinary.
Yeah.
Extraordinary. And the shapes they were making.
She looks like a pro, didn't she? When you doll her up.
Really hard
to
tell. Exactly, exactly. And obviously, Argentine tango, I'm a big sucker for it. I don't know what I'm watching, but I know I like it.
Flicky feet.
That choreography.
Fierce people.
Flicky feet, definitely. But that choreography, the stop, start, really, really did it for me this week. I think the choreography, they mentioned the names and I didn't write them down because I'm naughty.
It was Matt Allwright.
No. There's two choreographers that are specifically come in to help with Argentine Tango because they are the best at it. They did an astonishing job. I thought the choreography was probably one of my favourite ever Argentines on Strictly.
It was
Strictly.
Really good. Did you notice as well the two halves thing, which usually doesn't work in Strictly. You want to have a unified thing. But that thing where there was on like a red disc at the beginning and they were very, very sort of again, penned in by it. So they were doing, at the beginning I was going, are they going to move around the floor? Because they were just... And it was like building up potential energy. And then when they let go, the second half of it, they broke out.
Oh.
It was beautifully done.
Oh, the unleashing.
Normally two halves doesn't work, and it did. And
it's like a metaphor for something, Joel, isn't it? It's sort of like lots of concentrated activity, and then suddenly a burst of something.
It was a burst. It suddenly burst out. And when the music changed then as well, because the music went with it, and it became like, you said it was something with an accordion, but it turned into something. I kept thinking, oh my God, it's going to become the theme from Succession.
Yeah.
And I thought, I want to see someone dance the theme from Succession.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. Amazing.
You could do an Argentine tango to it. It'd be brilliant. Oh, boom! Jang!
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. But that was the kind of energy it had. And I think that was something which is a huge risk to, you've only got 90 seconds.
I know.
You're going to waste 40 seconds standing still. It was brilliant.
Standing still, my eye. Those legs, they were extraordinary. Anton just made a noise, which I really liked. I think it was something like, whoo! he was very happy. He said everything was great. There was intensity. Her shoulders were down. Brilliant. And then, of course, Craig immediately contradicted him and said, your shoulders were raised. But apart from that, it was perfect. Motsi said they're still one of the strongest ones in the competition. That there was such quality. Whenever she's at loss for words, she just says, such quality. Yeah. But I know what she means. She said it was exquisite. And really generous from Shirley this week. She said she's not sure Kim realises just how good that was. Yeah. And just said one of her most accomplished routines that she's done, basically, or her most accomplished. There were three nines and an Anton 10, which sent Graziano spiralling into a joy I've never seen.
It was lovely.
I mean, happy.
That joy at the end of it, again, you're talking about the restraint, the hold and the potential and the bottling of energy that's in this. At the end of it, when it finished, they just stayed in hold.
Oh, my God, for ages. Like, intense. Are you going to do it?
And I think, yeah, it was so brilliant. You went, they've gone there. And then at the end of it, part of the release was them celebrating those scores.
Yeah.
But it did feel like it felt really, really that the dance went on. It started off and it was this bottled thing and then it broke out. And it didn't stop until Graziano celebrated upstairs.
It had
a brilliant mood to it. And yeah, you're right. Definitely one of possibly the dance of the night, definitely one of my two favourites.
So atmospheric. And I know which is your other favourite because it was mine too. We've suddenly not got that in common.
Changed
in which case, I'll question our entire marriage.
You know what a big gooner I am, big Arsenal fan. So you know what I'm going to be picking as my dance of the night. The one that killed the lady.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, now we move on to Will and Nancy, who they did a quick step to something or other.
40s.
In a soda shop.
Yeah.
This is the disagreement over a chitty that the aforementioned.
Oh, yeah.
He's like some kind of delivery.
Yeah.
Yeah, he delivers some bottles of soda. He's got a chitty. She's like, no, you have it. And he's like, no,
admin,
you have it back.
Bit of paperwork.
And, yeah, exactly. And if that's what I'm remembering from the dance, it's not a good sign, is it? Will and Nancy, I'm having a really strange relationship with because obviously, every time I'm reminded of her personality, I just think, oh, my God, I love her. I love her. I love her. But there's something about him now that's just, to me, I'm sort of, I don't know, I got the ick and now I can't get it back.
Yes, I get the feeling she's obviously this lovely sort of mad little sort of firecracker
of
crazy eccentric quirks.
Yeah,
and tricks.
Yeah.
So she's full of personality. I think I've always really liked her. And he appears to be quite sort of straight and normal. And I think they're not a brilliant match.
No.
In terms of when I see them in training, I go, oh, I wonder if you get on. You know, when you sort of see Joe and Ellie, you go, I bet you get on. I don't know if I think they work together really well and they're producing some good dances. But I don't go, oh, I can't wait to see you lot. Like, I can't wait to see Javita and Hamza because I think they are a lovely match. I'm not sure they're a brilliant match.
I think she's pushing it hard.
Yeah.
But she's doing a lot of the work.
Yeah.
And he's just being like a bloke. And, well, I just tried my best, didn't I?
Yeah.
It's I don't know if I'm getting a little bit tired of that now.
I wonder if there's a thing in this we're not even talking about, which is this is an entertainment show where we get to watch training montages and funny sketches made by production team.
Yeah.
The two things you have to do is be able to dance and also form a double act.
Yes.
And sometimes the double act is sensational. But a lot of the work is, what personalities have you chosen? So Hamza has chosen humble, glad to be there. Works really well with Jovita's kind of, yeah. As I said, she's from the Black Widow programme and she's unbreakable. I like that combination of him being...
Cheerful assassin.
I'm really, really glad of training me to kill people. That works really well. And so there are these little relationships that come out. So part of what you're watching isn't just their dance journey, but their journey as friends or your project... God, neither of us know about dance. We are just reading people. Yeah. That's the reality TV angle of
That's
this.
What we're all trying to do. Yeah, we're all trying to just like, who am I naturally drawn to?
Without the judges there, we don't know about the dancing. But with these two, I'm thinking they're great and they're really good. But Will on week one blew me away. This is the closest I've seen to the energy from week one again. And yeah. I went, oh, I remember why I liked you.
Yeah.
So manic comic energy, him throwing himself in a way you'd think he'd be too cringy or embarrassed.
Yes, yes.
That he's an entertainer. He's come from a sitcom. He's an entertaining guy. He's funny. But I still kind of, I wouldn't mind them not getting to the end. Which bothers me.
Which I'm upset for, on Nancy's behalf, I'm upset because I think she deserves to be in a final. She is great. It was a quick step, so it was incredibly fast. He did seem to be keeping up with her.
Locked the music brilliantly,
completely,
I thought.
But it's really telling that the judges, even faced with something, you know, technically pretty good, although Shirley did get out her little shoe. Oh. We must talk about the scary little shoes. Why has Shirley got children's shoes under her desk?
And how many? I mean, towards the end, at first I thought it was one shoe.
Yeah.
And then I saw it was two shoes, and I thought, how many children has she killed?
Well, at least one girl and one boy so far.
Yeah.
And will kill again, no doubt.
But as you pointed out, you put a shoe in a building sometimes to protect it. It's one of those
you put
ritual,
it in the fireplace, don't you?
Yeah, ritual,
on the fireplace.
Ritual. I might have made that up. I don't know. But
it's to ward off evil spirits.
Ritual, but I think she's a witch and she's got children in a cauldron.
Just happens to have some children's shoes lying around.
She's not good.
She doesn't have any little children. Her children are grown up.
Yeah.
What the F is going on? Anyway.
So, chilling
just
little shoes.
A chilling note. Halloween week, I could understand it. This week, yes. Not on.
Didn't come out of Halloween week, did it?
I'm completely fascinated by her little shoes. Anyway, so when the judges really didn't have much to say about it, apart from, oh no, you move really well and you had speed and you covered the floor and your top line's getting better, but they're all
you've
a bit
legs.
They're all a bit shruggy. And obviously, this is in context. He's doing really well. He's dancing very well. Any of these people, apart from Tony, are really showing incredible promise. And they, from week one to week seven, have absolutely learned an incredible amount very, very quickly. But when the judges are a bit like, yeah, you're going in the right vague direction. Here's an eight. I don't know. They clearly are struggling to find things to say about Will. I wouldn't be surprised if he ain't banging his head on a bit of a ceiling there.
Yes,
I don't think he's destined for the final.
That's the word. We're feeling his ceiling, aren't we?
Oh, nice. So as we go into the final section of the show, we're reminded, Tess reminds us, it's 2 weeks to Blackpool.
2 weeks.
That just focuses the mind a bit, doesn't it? Because suddenly you're like, you know, are you imagining... Who was it? Who was lowered from the sea? I mean, it probably happened more than once, hasn't it? I think Judy Murray was good, but wasn't good enough and made it to Blackpool and then had to be winched from the ceiling on something, some prop, because that's how you know that you need to use up a lot of the dance time in Blackpool with a giant prop because you're not good enough to be at Blackpool. It's going to happen.
Tony Adams is going to be lowered again.
Are they just going to get the big gold cannon out again and take it to Blackpool? I imagine they are. They've probably already shipped it up there.
That's a good reminder, actually, that very often someone who is a bit stiff and difficult makes it this far. I was getting cross about Tony going, the novelty's gone. I enjoyed watching him get better, but I think his ceiling was a good couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Or maybe last week. He shouldn't still be there, but that is a good reminder that Blackpool very often has someone who is way out of their league still present with some good people gone.
I would just like to mention that Jimmy Biscuits nearly made it to the final. Is that what you want? Because that's what will happen if you keep up this nonsense, this lol vote nonsense.
Are you talking to Britain or me?
Britain and you. If I secretly find on your phone records that you voted for Tony Adams to piss me off, I will start divorce proceedings. Anyway, Helen and Gorka.
Yes.
My equal first dance of the night.
Totally.
Best dance of the night, sorry.
No surprise there. I might even like this more than Kim, and I liked Kim.
I think you're right, just for the emotional extra punch of this week. Didn't she look confident? Didn't she look like, fuck yes?
I could almost imagine, it was amazing.
You know when they show those videos during the week on the Strictly Socials where they kind of turn the mics up on what the dancers were all saying if you couldn't hear the music? If she's not saying, fuck yeah, I'll be really surprised because she should be. So she did a jive to Janelle Monáe's Tightrope. They styled her especially, but both of them as Janelle Monáe in the kind of like sort of sleeveless tux.
Yeah.
So she looked absolutely just like streamlined.
Geometric set. Smart. Really black and white, really stark, showed them off. Great costumes.
She looked incredibly sexy.
Yeah.
It was so understated. Obviously, she's in fine form. It's obvious to see. It was backless. Her makeup was really smouldering. Her hair was kind of away from her face. She just looked like a pro, I thought. An absolute pocket rocket pro.
She radiated confidence in the very beginning. And if you're talking about people's journeys with this, and we're looking at the journey all the time. Always the journey. The journey for her, we said from the very beginning, was she's got a load of personal shit that she had a rotten few years.
Terrible.
And basically she needs to sort of say to everyone, fuck you. This is turning up to meet the ex in the most sensational hairdo
of all time. Completely.
And it was... She delivered it. There was a moment where she adjusted her tie like Daniel Craig shooting his cuffs in that train.
Yes, after he blows the back off a train.
Yeah, it was one of those. It was like Pierce Brosnan underwater in a boat adjusting his tie. It was brilliantly cool and sassy without being anything other than incredibly modern. We're sort of making Bond references. It didn't even use borrowed cool.
No.
The only cool it borrowed was from Janelle Monáe, and it made that its own. It was absolutely sensational.
Completely. It was a hell of a routine. Really fast, really noticeable because she had, they were both wearing spats, you know, over their shoes. So those white spats, incredible, sort of like an eye test when they ask you to follow a white mark and just keep clicking the buzzer every time it pops up. So you could really follow her feet and how she was absolutely keeping up with her partner.
There was a thing with this which I think is really hard to nail because we're comparing it, say, to Kim. The Argentine tango is incredibly serious and so therefore exciting and thrilling. What's really hard is to do something that is fun and thrilling. And this was as much fun as watching a Charleston.
Oh, God.
Watching like a crazy Charleston. It had the energy. Jive can do that, but it was incredibly serious.
It was
a cool
jive.
But
cool jive is very hard.
Cool and fun is really hard to do because what it means is it's not funny. It's just fun.
I think the only comparable jive I can remember in Strictly History is Aliona and your man from that band, the beardy Irish one.
Yeah, by Beardy
Man. They did John Travolta and Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction. They jived. It was a teenage wedding thing. Yeah. that is the only other time I can think of where a jive has been pulled off with this much just sizzling. Obviously, sizzling cool. The two things are literally the opposite ends of the temperature spectrum.
It was hot
so
and cool.
So cool.
And again, as I was saying, this was the only thing I borrowed from was Janelle Monáe a bit, but it was like, it wasn't borrowed. There's a thing with some of these where you can do borrowed cool. Like, I really like James being Star-Lord. Because the guy from the film's cool, you're
cool. Did him a lot of favours, the outfit, everything.
Everyone wants to be dressed as James Bond, that thing. This was absolutely cool, and it belonged to her. This was Helen being cool.
Yeah.
I loved that.
It also had slight echoes of Oti and Bill from last series in that... Whichever routine, I think it was their couple's choice routine.
They were
kind of in sort of mobster gear with the suitcases and stuff. It had a bit of that as well. There was a lot of finger clicking, like Fosse finger clicking and stuff.
Yes, it was very, it had that vibe about it. And it had a little bit of when she did the cartwheel.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic. And you went, oh, because it's very controlled. And then suddenly there was this burst of exuberance, which reminded me of that lovely thing that Ellie Taylor did last week, where she just jumped in the air in a pure West Side Story jump. And you went, I love it
when they
just break.
It's a real moment of woohoo.
Oh, I want a bit of woohoo.
Yeah, definitely. Don't we all? Gosh, absolutely. Craig said there was one tiny mistake right in front of him and they were all saying, no, no. And Anton was like roaring, no,
it was a delay.
No.
She was holding back.
I loved that though, because I think it was basically exactly that. Anton said she was about to mistime something and then she just clenched for an extra split second in order to get back in sync.
Were you holding
with...
your breath? Because it was the end.
Totally.
I mean, it looked like she made a mistake. I went, don't do a mistake that wrecks that routine.
No.
Don't do a mistake that gets you sevens when that's clearly a nines and tens routine. She had clearly thought of it and went, no, I think I've got the skill to pull this back.
So cool.
And you should get you don't want a point deductive for making the mistake. You want a point retained for coming out of that without falling on your face,
which she very much did. Anton said she doing the clicking fingers thing, it looked like she was thinking to herself, I have so got this. It's the first time I've really looked at her and thought, you know, this is good. Finally it's getting through. Shirley said that's the way to do it. There was such musicality. But she said even the little glitch was no big deal. And Motsy said definite final vibes. And the tiny mistake was negligible and it was fantastic.
Amazing thing for the judges to say. You cocked up and you were so good that that shows you can dance. But
the way you cocked up was noticeable and, yeah, exactly how able you are. So Craig, Motsy and Shirley all gave nines because of the supposed mistake. And Anton defiantly gave a 10 saying, it was a delay. We were on a break. I love him for that. And it's her highest score in the competition so far. And took her up, right up to almost Hamza levels on the leaderboard. So delighted for her. I think this is a well-paced journey she's on. And that is by far my favourite dance that she's done. And now we move on to Fleur and Vito, who waltzed to, I guess that's where they call it, the blues by Elton John.
What about Elton John's lovely songs?
Elton John's lovely songs. Explain where that comes from so people can listen, because it's very funny.
It's a John Luke Roberts
isn't it from the Sound Heap podcast?
Yes.
If you haven't heard it, it's one of the funniest things ever.
And it has Elton John's lovely songs.
And John Luke Roberts is one of the funniest, cleverest men. And if you haven't heard that podcast, you must immediately. Anyway, back to the dancing.
Go and find Sound Heap. It's really good.
So, Fleur and Vito waltz. I guess that's why they call it the blues. I thought this was lovely. I'm getting a theory in my little head.
Theory.
Shall I tell you what my theory is?
Theory that is mine.
So, Fleur East has afro hair. Like, she has afro-textured hair.
That's her big thing.
And when she's in rehearsals and just being Fleur, she has her hair.
Yeah.
And almost every time they style her with, like, much more Caucasian hair.
Yeah.
They either put her in extensions, long, straight extensions, or kind of things that they always try and make her have long hair in some way or another.
Yeah.
That they don't allow the volume in her hair. So it's almost, and this is just my pop psychology, there's almost like a dissonance between watching her in the training videos, where she's such a she comes across as such a gorgeous person. She was there with her sister this week, who looks really, really like her. There's a dissonance between watching the Fleur in training and then the Fleur we see on Saturday night. It's almost like we're not watching the same person, because they always make her look so not like herself on the dance floor.
We've seen the Fleur once, maybe.
Have they done the maybe Beyonce it was week number? One or something? They let her have her own hair.
Didn't she do a Beyonce number or something with her own hair?
Yes, I think so.
But there was a thing where you went, okay, this is
one of the Latin numbers.
Yeah, whatever it was. Anyway, she's definitely done one very Fleur East, as in I've seen pictures of Fleur East before, which was on X Factor and things. I've seen she was X Factor, wasn't she?
Yeah,
That's her look. And it's really weird that they keep not
letting her look like herself.
It's a bit like if you got Bill Bailey on and kept giving him wigs.
Well, kind of.
Because that's Bill Bailey. You want to see Bill Bailey dance.
There's a silhouette.
Dance.
There's like a shorthand. Like, you know, if you had to do like an OP drawing of like each of the contestants.
House of Games.
Yes, exactly.
The House of Games cartoon of Fleur is big hair.
Her silhouette keeps changing every week.
Yeah.
And I think that's slightly mucking with her connection with the audience. Yeah. Reading too much into this because I've lost my mind because I've watched this show too long and too closely.
I like it.
But I just think there's something that's not letting Fleur have her identity on the dance floor. And so it's not quite connecting. When she's her on the dance floor, it's always with a different silhouette. And I think it's kind of befuddling to the short cuts we all have in our head for liked that, vote for that. I'm trying to find anything other than just like all that dreadful racism.
Good.
But I just her silhouette is never the same.
Yeah.
And sometimes the chameleon thing can be a good thing, but I just think they're not letting her look like her.
Yes, she's got
I've said that too many times, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, as in she's got a massive and very attractive personality.
She's
and
gorgeous.
For some reason, it's not quite reading on the dance floor. It looks like, I don't know, maybe every time you see her, she's really flexible and really dedicated. She's managing a load
of
different styles. And I'm thinking maybe you're right, that maybe people are going, oh, it's a different person every week. It's not the
same
person.
I don't literally think people are that stupid. I mean, they're stupid enough to vote for Tony Adams. Granted,
exactly.
And Boating with Boatface, also granted. I don't think they're so stupid that they don't recognise her. I just mean there's something that's not connecting.
Making the connection.
Because
so
the,
her, follow
whole,
her, journey.
Her whole package, her personality, her dancing, aren't coming as a cohesive package. There's interference in the way.
I like your theory.
That's all I think. Talk to psychologists. I bet they agree with me.
Did you like the dance?
I did like the dance. I put it was very sweet.
I wrote sweet.
It wasn't like my oh my god favorite of the night, but I think it was beautiful. I always hate it when they have like those flesh panels of mesh to stop your boobs popping out if you're booby and that you're wearing kind of like a very slight dress. I just think normally the costumes are so amazing, but there must be a more like glittery like glam way of doing that than just some old tights stretched over your tits. I didn't like that.
Looks like her tits are doing a bank robbery.
Slightly, yes. Yeah, that... bank robbery tits. We don't like it. Motsy was on her feet. Motsy's such an advocate for Fleur, I think, because she's really aware of that somehow that Fleur isn't connecting as much as she should do with audiences, and she can see how bloody great she is. She's like, she's really personally taking it on herself to kind of point out when Fleur's great. Motsy was like, your lines are amazing. You carry everything from your centre. You know, you're really strong. That was one of the best dances for me tonight. So she's a real advocate for her. And I really think that she needs that because, I don't know, there's something about, especially this week, I thought the song choice was great, but the dance didn't completely blow me away.
I think it was, someone said, one of the judges said, coming straight after the jive, it's a really hard energy to pull in. Because basically it's something absolutely sensational that was going to blow you away. And then it was just quite small. I thought it was really small, controlled and intimate.
It was.
And sometimes
beautiful.
These waltzes, they can go big and flouncy and Beauty and the Beast and over the top. And they can be like very, very sort of like vulgar and brash.
Yeah.
This is very small and intimate. And it was, the singing as well wasn't with full Elton belt. It was all sort of held back.
Yes.
It was very classy.
It was pretty and classy.
Yeah, and probably not the thing to come straight after Helen has just taken the roof off.
Exactly. And another one of those, much like the Foxtrot from earlier, another one of those where the judges' scores say yay, and I was sort of like, oh yeah, it's nice. Craig said he adored it. It was graceful, elegant, stylish. Anton said divine, full of grace. Down below might need adjusting slightly. That was funny. I'm implying that her down below might need adjusting. That was hilarious. But her balance is perfect. So all the things that are so hard in a waltz, you know, she it's that core of hers. She is really fit, really strong, and has really good control of her core.
But it was nice
so
to
that
see
everything
them,
comes from that, I think.
It's nice to see them going into bat for her and cheering for her, trying to keep her clear of the dance off. And also, that didn't feel false.
No, they said.
Right, these are the scores you deserve.
Really good scores.
And understanding what she'd done. It was a small and intimate piece in quite a loud week, loud, sexy, sexy week.
No, she got great scores and actually slightly arse about face in terms of Craig and Shirley. Shirley only gave her an 8 and the rest of them gave 9. So she was on 35, which puts her right near the very top of the leaderboard.
Lovely.
Vito's mum and dad were there. Yeah. And so he was genuinely really sweet and he really cried because he was really proud
that.
To get good scores in front of him.
Because you forget he's new.
His dad looked like, you know, an Italian dad. His mum looked like his sister. Like, I don't know if that's like a mum or a stepmum or just someone who's had lots of work done or a mob wife. I'm calling her a mob wife. That's really not very good, is it?
You're not helping at all. You're not helping us here at all. Vito looked very happy and emotional.
Oh, no,
it was lovely.
He did. It was the sweetest thing ever. Also, we must mention that Shirley's tiny shoes came out again and it chilled me to my very bones. And finally, we come to Tony and Katya.
And finally, in the sense that the story why Jerry the Stoat will be home for Christmas is an and finally on Newsround. Like the comedy final thing, it's not really a proper news story. We've had the real news and now Tony.
I suppose he had to close the show one day. So he and Katya were salsering to...
Were they? Was that what that was?
Apparently. To I Know You Want Me by Pitbull.
Yeah, another one of your favourites.
Another one of my absolute bloody
favourites. One for the Nans.
So obviously that involved Tony pretending to be a DJ in Ibiza. Or similar. And he did the, you know, he even got training on how to be a DJ from Tyler in the training montage. Sort of one hand on your ear, one in the air to kind of get people whipped up. He was, I think rather mistakenly now, I think they've realised, started him off in the crowd. So they made some of the audience for Strictly kind of be extras in his little DJ scenario.
Don't rope those people into the crime scene.
And frankly, I think he got so carried away with being in the moment that he forgot to start the dance. To me, it looked like he started at least a beat too late.
He had a shorter routine than everyone else.
Because we could
just
see Katya off to the side. And he looked like he sort of really caught that one up.
It wasn't like he missed a beat. It looked like he missed the opening verse.
I just put, he totally fucked that. which is not technical at all.
That's why the judges are the judges and you're you.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. That's why I don't get paid nearly as much as they do. Literally nothing. I felt like with this routine, with this song choice and with the colour coding and the styling, Katya was asking us, begging us to come back to whatever the year was when Ed Balls straddled her in Gangnam Style. She was trying to say, come on, you remember that? You liked that, didn't you? That was really good. Look, we're doing that again. It's basically the same thing. Vote for us, vote for us. It bloody worked as well. She's an evil genius. So she was starring kind of like lime green, which I think she was in Gangnam Style. It was, she was, and you have to, again, give her all the credit and a large bonus for this. So bloody brave. Like that man, I would not trust him to throw me a ball anymore. Yeah. Or maybe kick one, but not certainly not throw one. And he was throwing her around that dance floor, up very high. Her face was like diving towards the ground at such a speed. I genuinely thought he's going to break her neck. Genuinely really, really afraid for her safety. She is an incredible, fearless performer.
It looked like it was going to be like the Late Late Breakfast Show. They were going to kill someone on Saturday night for my entertainment.
And cut to one of our dinosaurs is missing really quickly. Like, and shit.
And they'd have to go on Wogan and say how it affected their career afterwards. It would be awful. That we're heading towards Saturday Night Disaster. It was like watching someone get into a car with a drunk person. It was bearing in mind he's had a history of struggling with alcohol. It did look like he should not be trusted with the heavy machinery.
Oh my god,
it really, really worried me. And I like Tony as a person. He's coming over very well. How game he's been on this is brilliant, but he knows he shouldn't still be there.
Time is up.
She has said to him, look, throw me about a bit, and he's gone, you're all right. But I really was worried for her.
Strong lad.
I was really worried for her.
I was too.
But because of that, I didn't enjoy watching it.
No, I didn't enjoy it.
And
he
barely danced. He wasn't there. He missed great chunks of it.
He did try, but the problem is, and Shirley sort of is the only one who really vocalised it, once you get on the wrong foot, that's it. Dance over. It's too fast. You cannot, especially because he's not Helen or one of the other much better amateurs, he couldn't then pick it up. Once he got the wrong foot, he was screwed, absolutely screwed.
I felt for him because that's what I do.
No, me too.
I think we're at a stage now where he is literally representing the rest of us.
Yeah.
And someone like Helen, who makes a fluff and just stars it out, that's the superhuman people who've been trained.
She's a machine in terms of just her professionalism and,
What Tony did is he got distracted because he's on live television and overexcited to be in the crowd and then forgot where the one was in the beat and then that wrecked the whole thing, which is what I do.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch that.
The judges were, pretty damning. When Motsy's, it's like she either tells you you've got a lovely personality or you tried really hard. The latter was the case this
You're
time.
Such an entertainer.
Completely. Craig just said, no, darling, and it's a shame. Anton said, you went a bit wrong.
I wanted to
Shirley
see if
did it... say there was some rotation in the bits that he did get to do.
In the spinning the woman round and nearly killing her.
Yeah,
she rotated.
No, and I could see, honestly, the couple of salsa steps he managed to do before it all went to shit. I could see, although it was the usual stompy bollocks, he was trying to absolutely do the moves. And you can also really see in the aftermath when everyone's laughing and going, oh, bless you, you fucked up, didn't you? That Catch is going, he fucking did it in rehearsal. Yeah. He's done it all week. Honestly, you've no idea how hard I'm working. Like, I can see the veins popping in her head. I understand that she's working, but what she's working with is no longer fit for purpose.
She's in this contest a lot longer than she thought she'd be with a novelty contestant.
I know.
And I think she's going, right, I'll show you everything I can do. Because I think she wants to earn the right to be paired with someone sexy again next year.
She's
trying to win her Spurs back.
Yeah.
And of course, he's Arsenal, not Spurs, but she's trying to...
Hey!
It's a good football joke there for the football lads. But he's clearly trying really hard, but it's way past the time that he should still be in there. It's way past the time he should be knocking other people out. And Catcher's attempts to say, I am so brave, I will do anything.
I know. Even risk my very life.
Yeah, they're not fun to watch, I don't think.
No, it's not.
I think I've enjoyed lots of Chinese dances, actually, because they've been the essence of Strictly.
Oh, last week you were saying, oh, good, can't wait to see what he does next. Well, this is what he does next, Joel, this.
And I'm sorry I
caused
that
to happen.
Yeah, I've done a bad thing.
Well, so the judges' scores were as follows. I'm really angry with you. You can't have any roast lamb later. Craig 4, Motsy 6, Shirley 5 and Anton 6.
Craig 4. Do you know what he gave earlier on? Do you know what he gave someone earlier on?
Yeah.
3.
A fucking 3.
And Craig's got a nought paddle. He could bring that out. He's the only one who's given a
minus one. They should do it like QI score, shouldn't they?
Knock one off Anton's.
Genuinely. So the question is now, what do we do with Tony? What do we do with the nation and their now abusive relationship with Tony? It's not abusive so much as it's toxic.
You know what we have to do?
What?
Like we have to do with all democracy.
Mm.
Remove the vote from the public because they can't be trusted and give it only to landowners.
Oh, that's a good idea. Just rich people?
Repeal the Reform Act. Go back to it. Suddenly women aren't allowed to vote and we go back to a system where there's 400,000 landowners like it was in the 1700s. Simple as that.
System of tithes and we should, crop rotation. Yeah, so it's all coming back to me now.
You're given a strip of land. There's no common land. You're not allowed that. Basically, it's proving once again that the British people cannot be trusted with democracy.
No, they can't. The only people allowed to vote now are the people who have tiny shoes to ward off evil.
Tiny shoe people.
So the leaderboard ended thus. Hamza at the very top on 38, closely followed by Kim and Helen, both on 37.
Good toppers.
An excellent toppers. And then down at the bottom, an absolute fucking car crash. It was obviously Tonya and Katia were on 21, which I think was generous. And then 1 point above them, Ellie and Johannes on 22.
Not fair.
Completely unfair. And the darts obviously ended up being between Molly, who was way up in the mid-top table section on 35, and Ellie, off of Ellie and Nikita fame, who was on 33, just two places below her. So that mid-table, again, proving an absolute death zone. If you're not a stupid footballer, sorry, not a stupid footballer, I'm sorry, low abuse, Julia. He's not stupid, but Tony now needs to go. And it's not Tony's fault that Tony won't go before Blackpool. I guarantee you he'll be in bloody Blackpool posing with a Crispy Quick hat and a bleeding stick of rock.
Being lowered for 88 seconds of a 90-second routine.
While someone else,
a wire,
brilliant, cries into their tomato soup at home on the sofa. So Ellie and Nikita were out this week. She went out on an absolute high. She was freaking adorable. She clearly was just like happy to the end because she got the chance to do it in the first place.
Don't choke her story off at that point because
it's
just
not fair.
It was just getting, it was brilliant. I really, really, really liked watching her dance. She has done herself a load of favours.
Absolutely.
I think, in terms of becoming a little sort of Nash Trej.
Oh, she's God. Brilliant. She totally is. She can do what she likes now. She's effing brilliant. From here on in, though, we're now looking at the war of attrition between me and anyone, and I'm doing eyeballs like through a podcast microphone now to any of you who are thinking of voting for Tony and Katia next week. Don't listen to this podcast. Forget you ever knew us. Delete our Twitter. Like, we're not interested in hearing from you.
It's getting a bit harsh.
Yeah, no, you're right. Probably. Okay, tell me what. No, tell you what. Come and see us on Twitter at Cursor Strictly and tell me why it's still funny to have the funny bad footballer in the programme about dancing. Come on, come here, I dare you.
Are you going to do it in the manner of a teacher who asks you to bring up whatever's so funny from the back row? Come on, bring up, show to the whole class. What's so funny about the dancing footballer?
Yes, I am.
Right, okay.
So that I ended on quite an aggressive note and I apologise. Thank you for listening. Genuinely, thanks. I'm really sorry I got so cross. I've got my period. Thank you for listening. Joel's got literally his head in his hands now. We do appreciate it. Do come and find us at Cursor Strictly on Twitter for as long as that lasts before Elon Musk tanks it. And we will be back next week for what they're now calling week 8 of Strictly Come Dancing. But until then,
don't stop dancing!